In 1970, a television program debuted that changed the way millions of people looked at faith. The Hour of Power.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice.
And today, the Hour of Power continues with a new voice for a new generation.
When you put your trust in God, nothing can stop you.
Because whatever your circumstance or the obstacles you face, this moment can be your Hour of Power.
Dit is Hour of Power en op deze vroege zondagmorgen iedereen van harte welkom. Bobby Schulen spreekt zo meteen over een belangrijk thema, leven in liefde. En er staan twee koren in de kerk dit keer, het Luther Nordic Choir en natuurlijk het vertrouwde koor van Hour of Power. En weet je dat er een Bijbel bestaat die gepowered wordt door zonne-energie? Nou, daar gaat straks James Rankin alles over vertellen. En mijn gast vanmorgen, want we hebben het over muziek, is Remco Harms. Bekend van LA The Voices, maar Remco heeft een nieuwe muzikale weg gekozen. En daarover vertelt hij zo meteen. Vrienden van Hour of Power, hartelijk welkom.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're so glad that you're here today.
Welcome, welcome. We are so honored to have you. Did you know that Isaiah says that God is waiting to be gracious to us? We serve a good, good God. Would you turn around and shake the hand of the person next to you and say, God loves you, and so do I.
We want to say good morning to the Lutheran Nordic Choir. Thanks for being here today, guys. We're really looking forward to hearing you. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we prepare our hearts to rest and worship. We thank you, God, that you're here, that your Holy Spirit dwells in this place, and we are so grateful that you have called all of us. You've renewed us, and we're so grateful. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Be seated. In preparation for Bobby's message this morning, the words of our Lord found in 1 John. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. May we continually dwell in God's love so that we have the power to love others.
Lord, have mercy.
Well, my guest today is Jim Rankin, co-founder of Adventures in Truth, a research mission organization that is part exploration and part adventure and part mission. Jim and his wife, Sherry, have spent years studying the Bible, and together they travel the world locating some of the Bible's lost, hidden secrets. Please welcome with me Jim Rankin. Hi, Jim.
Nice to meet you. Thank you.
So great to see you, and so glad you made the trek out here. And so let's talk a little bit about your pretty cool Indiana Jones type life. I met you in Praise the Lord, and I was really excited to hear about some of the cool things that you're doing. But this kind of started when you were a kid, right?
It did. I was actually, you could find me hidden away in a swamp in Florida looking for alligators around the age of five, and that kind of expanded out throughout the years. And lo and behold, in my later time here, we ended up doing this for a living. So
as you're a kid, you're exploring, you're finding all sorts of things, and that led to you becoming an archaeologist, essentially, and doing the things you do.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do now?
We travel the world. We spend most of our time in Ethiopia, the northern region of Ethiopia, which is the biblical region. And that particular area is where God has decided to leave a lot of archaeological trails and find with a lot of neat finds with it. So
now I would think that you would want to be in Israel. So why not Israel? Why Ethiopia?
Well, Ethiopia is the southernmost land that the Bible talks about.
Yeah.
And a place you wouldn't think about anything being hidden away. So this is a place where the Bible actually talks many times throughout the scriptures about different events and gifts and things that the Ethiopians have and will be involved in.
And of course, there's a huge tribe of Ethiopian Jews, right? They're like African Jews.
Yeah, Adventures in Truth actually works with two of the lost tribes, the tribe of Benjamin, the tribe of Dan, in the northern region of Ethiopia near Gondar, Ethiopia.
And why though? Why Ethiopia? I mean, is there anything like really great that you found there that is blowing your mind?
It's funny you mentioned that.
Okay.
Well, several years ago, we were involved in an expedition in search of the trail of the Ark of the Covenant. We ended up on an island where they had claimed the Ark had been. They had never cleared it. They had just claimed it. We cleared the ground and found engraved footholds to hold something into place exactly on the spot, and they measured the exact dimensions of the Bible's Ark of the Covenant. So that's the only evidence still known today that the Ark has ever really existed.
So your work is much more important than just being interesting archaeology. I mean, this is something that's helping pastors, and this is something that's helping in our study of the Bible.
Yeah, we actually, as part of our ministry, we believe that God opened up the finds, the discoveries, as the front section to what we do on the backside, and that is spread the gospel through solar Bibles. 70% of the country can't read, so we share.
So a solar Bible, explain that.
Well, I actually have one. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Cool.
There you go, right there.
Okay, this is a Bible.
That is a Bible. It has the story of God, the opportunity to know Christ, the story of Christ, the opportunity again, the entire Old Testament, entire New Testament, and a study all in their language by pushing a button.
And is that a solar panel on the back?
That is a solar panel. And there's plenty of sun in Africa and Ethiopia. So.
Wow.
So they've got the opportunity, and they believe God is speaking to them. Plus, we are training pastors. We believe if we can build an army up of pastors to train them and share with their congregations, and then working with the Ethiopian Jews and the part of it as well.
All right, enough of that.
It starts in the beginning. God created the heaven and the earth.
How do I turn it off?
You hold the button down.
That is great.
Yeah, and we actually dropped one of those in a village. And 3 months later, I came back, and during a rainstorm, a boy came out of the rain, claimed, screaming at us in the Amharic language, and said, "My name is Gabriel, and he sent me to tell you that 315 people in our village have been revived in Jesus."
Wow. That is powerful. Well, obviously, there's so much to hear about your story. We get to hear just a little bit, but we can get understand more and hear more about it in your book, Jesus in Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. Any other cool finds recently?
Yes, there have been. We'll be able to talk about more of that in the next few months.
All right. It's a cliffhanger.
Yes.
All right. Jim, if you had just one word to give our audience, we have millions watching around the world, what would you say to those who are listening today?
I would have to say, put your trust completely in God. Let him be your light, and let everything in your life, look back on it, and you'll see everything in your life has led to where you're at now in order to serve him greater.
Great. Jim, thank you so much for being here today. You're a blessing to us, and we'll be praying for your mission. God bless you.
God bless you.
Dat was het Luther Nordic Choir. En dat brengt me tegelijk bij mijn gast van vanmorgen, Remco Harms. Een heel bekende zanger in Nederland, een multitalent. En we zijn erg blij dat hij meedoet aan de tour met Bobby Schuller. Hij is een vertrouwd gezicht bij Hour of Power. En Remco, heel erg welkom deze vroege zondagmorgen.
Ja.
Valt niet mee voor een zanger om vroeg uit bed te komen?
Nee, hè? Nou ja, daar richt je dan je nacht op in eigenlijk.
Ja. Ja. En toch kijk je regelmatig Hour of Power.
Ja. Ik vind fijn dat het er is. Ik vind fijn dat er mensen die niet naar buiten kunnen, bijvoorbeeld gewoon ergens bij kunnen horen. Het gevoel hebben dat ze bij een gemeenschap horen, zoals ik zelf een kerkgemeenschap heb. En als ik 's avonds heb gewerkt, kan ik 's ochtends dit ook even aanzetten. Ja. Dus dat is fijn.
We gaan eens even kijken naar jouw muzikale carrière. Je hebt meegedaan aan de musical Rembrandt. Je was in de race om Jozef te worden in de tijd van Jozef en Multicolored Dreamcoat. Je deed mee aan The Voice of Holland, All By Myself, zong je daar.
Ja.
En zullen we even naar kijken?
Ja, dat vind ik wel leuk.
En dan zie ik iedereen razend enthousiast en dan haal je het toch niet. Hoe ga je om met teleurstelling?
Ja, dat is als zanger zijn, hè, dan moet je heel vaak auditie doen. Kijk, mensen zien alleen maar een groot podium, LA The Voices bijvoorbeeld. Alle dingen die leuk zijn, dat zien de mensen. Alleen men ziet niet wat je niet haalt of waar je de auditie bijvoorbeeld niet voor haalt. Dus ja, dat doe ik altijd in stilte.
Ja.
En dan tel ik altijd weer de zegeningen die ik wel krijg.
Over die zegeningen, want dat zeg je nou mooi, gaan we het zo meteen hebben. Laten we, je noemde wel alleen de Voices.
Ja.
Laten we met Gordon en je andere muzikale vrienden.
Ja.
Laten we eens even naar een stukje kijken.
Ja.
Wat gaan we zien?
Jij geeft me vleugels.
Ja.
Fantastische videoclip in Zuid-Afrika.
Ja. Ja. We zien je daar staan met je...
Met mijn armen wijd.
Ten heven, ja. Daar ben je eigenlijk heel bekend door geworden, door te zingen met Gordon, LA The Voices, die hij heeft opgericht.
Hele mooie tijd, heel veel dingen gezien. Dan ga je dus in één keer een videoclip opnemen op de Tafelberg.
Ja. Hè?
Nou, dat is fantastisch. Mooie reizen gemaakt, Las Vegas, LA. Ja, zelf doe je dat niet zo snel. Fotoshoots doen, heel tof om gedaan te hebben.
Dan krijg je waar ik naartoe wil, is dat je dan een soort ster-imago krijgt. Zocht je dat ook? Wil je ook de beroemde Remco Harms zijn? Even lach je.
Nou, dat is een hele goede vraag, want niemand stelt die vraag zo. Het gaat mij niet om beroemdheid. Want ik vind het heerlijk als ik met een pet gewoon anoniem door de straat kan lopen. Alleen, ik heb het idee dat ik wat te vertellen heb. Daar hoort bekendheid bij. Want anders kan ik het niet groots en meeslepend doen zoals ik het wil.
Ja.
Dus dat is een noodzakelijk kwaad en zo zie ik het.
Ja.
Beroemdheid.
Ja. Want die beroemdheid, hè, van aan de ene kant zit je in het circuit van moderne muziek, veel televisieoptredens. Aan de andere kant ben je een diepgelovig christen.
Ja.
Een jongetje uit de kerk.
Ja.
En dan ga je nog elke zondag naartoe.
Ja.
Kerk van de Nazarenen.
Ja.
Hoe rijm je dat?
Ik zeg altijd, ik sta met mijn ene been in de glitterwereld en met mijn andere been in de gospelwereld. Ik wil gewoon dat het samen kan gaan.
Ja.
Ik wil gewoon in een mooi seculier concert ook een aantal gospelliedjes kunnen zingen. Ik maak wel eens concerten en dan krijg ik terug van mensen, ik weet niet wat ik heb meegemaakt. En dan denk ik altijd, juist.
Ja.
Als ik een lied over God zing, dan hoop ik altijd dat ik even kan laten zien hoe het boven zou kunnen zijn. Alsof de hemel even open gaat. En dan ervaar ik het als mijn taak dat ik even het licht kan door laten schijnen.
Ja.
En
het licht van?
Het licht van God.
Ja. Want wat betekent hij voor
maar
jou?
Maar dat is voor mij heel erg dat er geen duisternis is.
Ja.
En dat er geen alleenheid is. Het idee van dat je echt in je eentje zou zijn, nou, dat lijkt me echt afschuwelijk.
Ja. Toch heb jij een tijd gehad, en dat is nog niet zo lang geleden, dat je zei het toen ik je ontmoette, het leven niet meer kon omarmen. Dat vond ik een hele mooie uitspraak. Wat is er met je gebeurd? Vind je het moeilijk om erover te praten?
Ja, nou, ik ga eventjes rustig na wat er allemaal gebeurd is. Er is in mijn 33ste levensjaar heel veel gebeurd. Ik kreeg het idee, ik wil stoppen met LA The Voices. Ik ga wat anders doen. Ik ga me ook meer richten op gospelmuziek. Ik was ineens voor het eerst in mijn volwassen leven single. Ik had 15 jaar een relatie gehad. Dus dan moet je het ook ineens alleen doen. Ik heb me nooit echt alleen gevoeld. Alleen, het is wel zo dat je dat het hele leven anders is. Als je normaal gesproken letterlijk hand in hand loopt, dan krijg je ineens meer tijd om over van alles na te denken.
Je pijn?
Heel veel.
Ja?
Ja. Ja. Omdat ik sinds mijn 18e gewend was aan met iemand samen zijn.
Ja.
En dan ben je 33 en dan moet je het ineens alleen doen.
Ja. Wat gaf jou troost?
Zingen over God.
Ja.
Want
hij liet je niet los.
Nee. Juist het afgelopen jaar de houvast. En je weet, ik zing natuurlijk altijd Gentle Savior waar ik kan. Dat gaat over dat je nooit alleen hoeft te zijn. En dan was het ineens zo dat er vorig jaar iemand kwam die zo'n soort liedje voor mij schreef. En dat gaf me zo'n bevestiging in, oké, die kant ga ik dus ook gewoon op. Dit blijf ik doen. Dit moet ik doen. Dit is mijn pad.
Hè? Zingen van het licht.
Ja, nou, over God.
Ja.
Onze God.
Ja. Ja. Want dat liedje waar je het over had, dat moet nog uitkomen. Ik heb het mogen horen.
Ja.
Prachtig, over Job.
Ja.
Zeg er eens, vertel eens wat over.
Ja. When he calls my name. Stel je voor dat God een keer zegt Rem, kom jij eens even mee. Ga jij eens even dat doen. Heel simpel gezegd. Zingen over hem. Vertellen. Ik zie dat heel groot, hè, omdat ik dat heel serieus neem. Dat is een taak die ik op me neem en ik geniet daar zelf heel erg van. En dat lied is ook eigenlijk echt voor Out of Power geschreven. Met het idee van als je weer een keer mag zingen bij hun, dan ligt dit klaar om te gaan doen. En dat komt binnenkort.
Ja, op een tournee van Bobby.
Ja.
Ja, ontzettend fijn.
Ja.
Het gaat over de Bijbelse figuur Job.
Ja.
Die komt erin voor, daar is het op geïnspireerd. Job had alles, maar die hield niks over.
Ja.
Dat is getop van Job.
Ja.
Daar kun je wel mee identificeren.
Nou ja, dat is natuurlijk ook als je denkt een hele fijne, liefdevolle relatie te hebben.
Ja.
En in een werksituatie zit waarbij je denkt, oh ja, dit is cool.
Ja.
En dan ineens gaan er allemaal dingen wegvallen.
Ja.
Want blijkbaar moet het gewoon even zo.
Ja.
En dan moet je op jezelf teruggewezen worden. Blijkbaar is dat dan mijn taak. Oké, dan doen we dat.
Ja.
Ja. En dat ben ik aan het doen.
Ja. Jij leeft in je 33ste levensjaar.
34.
34. Bobby ook, geloof ik. Dus jullie zijn leeftijdgenoten. Ja. Wat vind je van Bobby Schorre?
Nou, daar kan ik je wel wat over vertellen. Ik keek natuurlijk een aantal jaar geleden naar zijn opa. Vond ik een innemende man. En toen een paar jaar later zag ik Bobby. Ik heb hem een paar keer gesproken in Nederland natuurlijk. En toen dacht ik, die jongen is net zo oud als ik. En die leidt zijn schapen. En heel veel mensen mogen meekijken. Over de wereld heen. En dan denk ik, wat een verantwoording heeft hij. En dat vind ik zo knap. Want hij is net zo oud als ik. En hij doet dit al een aantal jaar. Ik vind dat ongelooflijk knap.
Ja.
Daar heb ik heel veel respect voor.
Hij met woorden, jij met muziek.
Ja.
Dus, nou, wat is mooi om samen op te trekken straks tijdens het tournee.
Ja.
Ga drie keer zingen in Drachten, Veenendaal en in de Sint-Jan in Gouda.
Ja.
Samen met Sarah Grand Prix.
Ja.
Kan die ook zingen, hè?
Ja, en een mooie vrouw.
Ja.
Ja, prachtig. Ja. En ik heb haar een aantal keer kunnen zien natuurlijk op tv. Hele mooie stem.
Ja.
Ja. Daar heb ik heel veel zin in.
Ja, nou wij ook.
Ja.
Voordat we afscheid nemen, zou je nog wat willen zingen uit het lied wat jij...
Ja.
When I was lost, wandering alone, you came to pick me up and find me. You touched my heart in a moment. I sought away the truth, the light. You who sensed the lightning on its way, created every single day. Who calls the morning stars to sing? Lit the skies the day came. I long to serve my Savior King. When he calls my name.
Prachtig, Remco. En ik denk dat heel veel jongeren en ouderen zullen genieten als jij op de Bobby Tour dat gaat zingen.
Geeft
ook. Ja. Heel fijn dat je hier vanmorgen wilde zijn. En heel veel succes met het nieuwe pad wat je bent ingeslagen. Namelijk het zingen van de gospel. Je hebt een favoriete bijbeltekst uitgekozen op mijn verzoek.
Nou, dat is dan bijvoorbeeld Job 38. Waar mijn nieuwe lied over gaat. Who calls the morning stars to sing? Wie is er groter dan ik?
Ja.
Wij kunnen het niet verzinnen. En dan wordt het alleen maar een soort logisch. Dat we de oogkleppen op hebben en rechtuit het pad op gaan. Wat ons gewezen wordt.
Goed.
Ja.
Ik heb nog nooit gehoord dat je oogkleppen op kan hebben. Ja, maar dat vind ik hele goede oogkleppen.
Ik spreek zo altijd heel duidelijk.
Ja. Ja, als je dat boek weglegt,
dan
krijg je een ander boek van me. En dat is dit boek, Omdat je het waard bent. Dus daaronder staat, ieder mens is uniek. En kost wel God, een boek wat geschreven is door Bobby Schuller.
Mooi.
Alsjeblieft. Gaan we wel over horen op de avonden dat je zingt.
Is goed.
En ik heb wat, je hebt een hele lieve manager, maar ook een hele lieve moeder, die je door dik en dun steunt, die lange tijd ook jouw manager is geweest. En ik heb een cadeautje voor haar, wat wij eigenlijk hebben voor, het is een limited edition, maar een beperkt aantal zijn gemaakt.
Ja.
Het is een cadeau voor Moederdag.
Leuk.
En als je dat koopt voor je moeder of voor je vriendin of voor je geliefde, dan steun je ook Hour of Power.
Mm-hmm.
En het is heel symbolisch. Geloven, het kruis, het hartje voor liefde en het leven. En nou, je hangt het aan je tas of je hangt het aan je sleutelhanger.
Ik ga het geven.
Ja?
Ja.
Laat even weten wat je moeder ervan vond.
Zal ik
krijg graag een verslag terug.
Ja.
Alsjeblieft.
Leuk.
Nou,
heel mooi.
Jij hoeft het niet te weten, want je weet alles al van de Bobby Tour, maar niet iedereen weet dat. Overigens worden zoveel kaarten verkocht, dat vinden we ongelooflijk leuk.
Goed zo.
En als je nog niet besloten hebt, hierbij het nieuws.
Kom en ervaar Hour of Power live. Ontmoet elkaar en Bobby Schuller op een van de avonden. De presentatie is in handen van Jan van der Bos en het thema is Je bent geliefd. Geweldige artiesten treden voor u op. Uit Amerika soliste Sarah Grand Prix van het Hour of Power Corps. En Remco Harms, bekend van LA The Voices. En op onze grote podia de swingende New York Gospel Singers. Bestel nu uw kaarten en kom op dinsdag 21 juni naar Drachten, woensdag 22 juni naar Gouda of op vrijdag 24 juni naar Veenendaal. Bel nu 035 538 0588 of ga naar www.hourofpower.nl.
Thank you, Luther Nordic Choir. You guys are awesome. Anyone from Orange, Iowa, by the way? No. My family originates in Orange, Iowa. So if you know any Schulers or DeHaans, you know, let me know, because that would be family. Anyway, we're so glad you guys are here. It's an honor. I received a letter this week from Stephen in Huntsville, and it's just an amazing story of a pastor who wound up in jail for theft. And he said, you know, he writes in this letter, I'm doing a 16-year prison sentence. He says, my life has fallen to pieces. But he said that I see that God is starting to put my life back together. And he writes here, this week you said something like, your life is a story and you haven't read the ending yet. And he said, you know, that's really made a difference in my life. I know that God's call is irrevocable in my life and that he can still use me. You know, this is why we do what we do. For people, whether you're in prison, whatever you're going through in life, whether you feel like Stephen, like your life has fallen into a thousand pieces, we want you to know if you're alive, you're alive for a reason, and that God is not done with you, and that your best days are ahead if you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen, church. And so this is why we do what we do. And we just started that wall over there. So we're going to start stapling letters to that wall to know that God's love, power, and grace is big enough and good enough to carry us through the hardest, most difficult times in our lives. Amen? So it's going to be a good day today. Would you stand with me and we're going to say this confession together? Hold your hands out like this as a sign of receiving God's love. I'm not what I do. I'm not what I have. I'm not what people say about me. I am the beloved of God. It's who I am. No one can take it from me. I don't have to worry. I don't have to hurry. I can trust my friend Jesus and share his love with the world. It's the truth. Amen. You can have a seat. I want to start with this very simple thing. I just want to begin by saying that love is the measure for every believer. That we are called to love our neighbors, to love annoying people, to love people that cut in line. All of us know that, right? If we're Christians, if you've gone to church for any bit of time in your life, you know that, well, I'm supposed to love folks. That's what I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to do my best. And most sermons are going to be about try harder, right? It's going to be like, love people. This is how you love people. Now try your hardest and stop messing up. And you know, the miracle about Christian love is that it's actually not about trying harder. That although love is entirely about what you do and not what you feel, trying harder isn't enough to get you there. The reason we do this creed every single week is because unless you live from a place of God's love and God's grace that is not about your works, it's not about your trophies, it's not about your reputation, until you can have an identity that is grounded not what in people think and say and how people appraise you, but if it's 100% rooted in God's love, your spiritual health is exactly proportional to how much you love God and love people. Of all the things you ought to measure as a believer, that is the most important thing you can measure. Now, I want to begin with a story. My mentor, Bill Gaultier, some of you know him. He used to work in New Hope, and he's been a mentor of mine now for years. He's a tremendous man of God, and he was mentored by Dallas Willard. And he tells the story where he'd gone to an angel game with his daughter, Brianna, and they'd had a great time. And he came out to his car. And do we have that picture? And this is what happened when he got out to his car. So he came out, and his car had been completely keyed. And, obviously the person that did this didn't know him. And what do you do? What happens when you see that on your car? I know what I would have done. I would have taken a break from being a pastor. I might have cussed and kicked the car and made it even worse. You know, many of us, depending on how we feel, is how we're going to respond to this. If you, for example, just won the lottery, and you just won $1.5 billion, you're going to say, I don't care. Perhaps your team lost, and somebody spilled their beer on you on your way out. And maybe your girlfriend just broke up with you, and then you see this, and then what's going to happen? The reason I mention these scenarios is that for many of us, the way we respond to the difficulties in life are based on circumstance. Our love for others is based on what happens to us. For Bill, he tells this story as a testimony to walking daily as a disciple, because he said, I was surprised to find in my heart that though I felt angry, I actually thought about the man or woman. We always assume it's a man, don't we? The man who did this to my car, and I felt sad for him. And my heart broke for him because I imagined, what's it like for him and his relationships? And I thought about how self-condemning he must be and how he must not have any really healthy friendships and he just began to think about this person, and he began to pray for him, and he began to pray for the person that did this to his car. And I want to begin with that story because I think that's a testimony to Christian love. And when Jesus tells us and commands us to love our enemies, we very often, in theology, we say apologetics. We make apologetics about why we're not supposed to actually love our enemies. But no, we are. You're actually supposed to love people that are hard to love, even if you never meet them. And although feeling angry is not only a normal thing, sometimes it's a good thing, you can be angry and you can also love someone. And so the reason I begin with this is that this is the vision. I want to be the kind of person that if I come out from an Angel game and I've had the worst day ever and someone has totally keyed my car, I can not think so much about myself. Maybe I'll feel angry. Of course I'll feel angry. But to take a moment, just feel bad for this person. To have empathy for this person. To recognize that in some ways this person is already in hell. That they're living in a life that is completely separated from God's love and power. And that is why Christian love is a miracle. Christian love is a miracle because most of us are going to respond to people based on how they treat us. Jesus says this in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, what reward will you get if you only love those who love you? Even the pagans do that. And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Even the Gentiles do that. Everybody does that. What makes a Christian unique in the way they treat others? And the answer is this. Even if you're having the worst day ever, even if everything is not going your way, even if everything in your life circumstantially is falling apart, God loves this person, and therefore you will love this person. That there's something bubbling in your heart that says, I will love this person regardless of how I feel. When Stephen, the first martyr, is executed for preaching the gospel, his last words, he's being stoned to death, and he looks to heaven as stones are being thrown at him. Hasn't harmed anyone. It's the one passage in the Bible where it says Jesus is not sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's actually standing at the right hand of the Father. Some theologians say that Jesus is actually giving him a standing ovation. And what are Stephen's last words? Lord, don't hold this sin against them. Reminds me of what Jesus said when he was being crucified, when he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. We have to understand that the reason Stephen and Jesus and great men and women of God can say and feel these types of things, even when they're being beaten and persecuted, is because they're so overflowing with God's agape love in their soul that they can't help it. It's who they are. I want to read from 1 John, one of the most famous passages on Christian love. St. John is writing to the church and he says, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. That statement has tremendous consequences for our theology, doesn't it? This is how love is made complete among us, so that we'll have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. There it is, right there. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this commandment. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. It's so easy to read this passage and feel guilty, isn't it? You think about like the person you didn't really love recently. And I don't think that's what John is trying to achieve here. I don't think he's trying to make us feel guilty, if anything, just a little. I think what John is really trying to accomplish here is to give us a recipe. Henry Nouwen, when he taught on this passage, called this the first love. And he says, John says, we only love because God first loved us. That means that in order to love like a Christian, you have to be completely abiding in God's love for you. And until you find a home in God's power and love, you'll never really have the power to love people who hate you, love people who offend you, love people who gossip about you, love people who hurt you. To live with a patient agape love in everything you do, unless you're rooted in God's love, we lack the power to love others. That's why this ministry and this church does its best to reinforce the idea that you are loved no matter what, that nobody gave you God's love and nobody can take away God's love. It will be there forever. And until you abide in that, your life will never change. Everything we do in our spiritual disciplines needs to be realigning our soul with this one fact that in the kingdom of God, He loves us. And when we own that, when we live, all of our life becomes so holy because we're living from a place of desire and joy and peace that out of a heart that's been renovated, we can't help but do what is right. So, we have to love others, though. We have to. Now, you know, this is a confusing thing. I remember, you know, every Sunday we say here, turn to your neighbor and say, Christian love has nothing to do with feelings. It has everything to do with your heart, and it has everything to do with how you act. Love is care for human good. Love is not your feelings or your emotions. Love means you give a hoot. That's what it means. Did you know Jesus loved the money changers? He did. And did you know Jesus loved Judas? And did you know Jesus loved the Pharisees? He did. For all of these people, he wanted the best for them. And he would have done anything to see them completely renovated and transformed. He wanted to see them saved. He wanted to see them in heaven. His whole heart was about loving these people. And that's why it wasn't difficult for him to say the loving things he said to them. Love means you are like the Samaritan. And this is the example that Jesus used. That although all these other religious guys stepped over this hurting man, it was the Samaritan, the societal reject, that stopped and helped this man. When you give someone who's thirsty a glass of water, you love them. When you clothe someone who's naked, you love them. When you comfort someone who's weeping, you love them. When your heart breaks for your enemy because he went to jail, but even though it's the right thing or whatever, you love them. Love has everything to do with caring about what happens to a person, even if you don't really like that person. Love is all about being a decent human being in the end. The soul is fragile. It needs to be handled carefully. The strong people in your life are not as strong as you think they are. They need you. They need grace. They need kindness. But we lack the power to be kind to them unless we first are rooted in God's love. So it all comes back to that, doesn't it? You're not what you do. You're not what you have. You're not what people say about you. You are the beloved children of God. You are a beloved child of God. He loves you right now. We have to live there. We have to live in grace before we can live in holiness. It's not the other way around. I remember when those words that we say every week, they came from, I believe it was a book called The Life of the Beloved by Henry Nouwen. And I remember when I started praying that creed, every day of my life was radically transformed. As I began to recite it over and over to myself, I actually found that I was living a holier life. That as I stopped trying to prove myself to others, I found that I was feeling less offended. That as my ego sort of diminished, as my self-worth increased because I was living in God's love, I just didn't care as much about what people thought. And then all of a sudden I had courage. I had the ability to do what was right even when it hurt. I had the ability to say things even when I thought people would walk out or reject me. And it gave me the power to be a better man. And that power completely came from every single day realigning my life with this one idea that I'm loved by God. And you know what it did for me? It gave me a little bit of a pep in my step. It's the one you see every week, you know, where I'm a little happy. I'm happy. You know, I go through hard things. Hannah's had health problems. My son has had health problems. I've had sleeping problems from time to time because of these things and stress and challenges. And yet through all of it, by realigning my life, and this is a testimony in God's love, I've realized that living from God's grace is the only place from which to live. That until I came home to completely live in the identity that God loves me, that I have nothing to prove, that the works of Jesus Christ are more sufficient than my works, until I got there, I mean, I felt numb. I felt like I was always trying harder. I felt like I was always catching up. I felt like I was always switching luggage from one hand to the other. And now daily I walk on this journey. I'm not what I do. I'm not what I have. I'm not what people say about me. I'm God's beloved son, and so are you. You're God's beloved son or daughter. And when we own that, it empowers us to love others. Say amen if you know it to be true. So we don't have to, you know, if somebody offends us, many of us, we want to bury our heads or withdraw. When somebody offends us, we want to put on a fake smile and pretend like nothing's wrong. I don't care that you just said that. Inside, you're on fire. Or probably the healthy of us will actually lash out at the person and yell and scream, "How dare you say that about me? My baseball team will win this year." Or whatever it is that offends you. Don't talk trash about the angels. But when we're truly living in God's love, we find that all of the... I find that our nerves are not so on edge, you know what I mean? That when somebody says something that's truly unkind, truly hurtful, you still feel it, but it doesn't get under the armor, you know? And you're able to see, I think it was what Rick Warren said, that hurt people. That wounded people wound people. That what they're saying says more about, what they're saying about me actually says more about them than it does about me. And that I can let this one go. And I can love this person even though I'm really angry at them. That's what abiding in God's love does. And so look at your life. Stop looking at your phone all the time. Stop trying to shove 25 hours in a 24-hour day. Stop trying to fill every moment, every second of your life with either work or entertainment. Have spaces in your life for peace, for rest, for doing nothing, for a quiet conversation with a friend, for reading a book. Arrive early to stuff. Pray often. Memorize scripture. Sing the Psalms. Have soul friends who will keep you accountable and hear your pain and help you walk through your suffering and sin. And as you find that as you abide in God's love, your life will be transformed. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus and we thank you that you have shown us the way. Help us to think the way you think. Help us to see the way you see. Well, that we would be Christ-like people in everything we do. True joy comes from this kind of living. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
My hope is built on nothing but
so the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Dat was een mooie toespraak van Bobby over liefde. We kennen allemaal dat leuke liedje, Alles is Liefde, van Bluff. En er is ook een film over gemaakt. Maar dit is over een andere liefde. Een liefde tussen God en jou als mens. Je bent geliefd. En dat is ook het thema van het tournee met Bobby Schuller. Er is al heel veel belangstelling voor. Dus kijk even op onze website www.hourofpower.nl voor alle informatie. Daar lees je ook over heel veel andere dingen waar we mee bezig zijn. Want Hour of Power is altijd in actie en vol dynamiek. Want we worden gepowered door hoop. Vrienden van Hour of Power, ik wens iedereen een hele goede zondag, een mooie week. En ik hoop tot volgende week.
Wij hopen dat deze uitzending u heeft bemoedigd. Kijk volgende week weer naar Hour of Power met Bobby Schuller. Blijf in contact met ons via Facebook, onze website of bel ons. In onze webshop vindt u vele prachtige producten die u bemoedigen en inspireren. De boodschap van Hour of Power heeft wereldwijd impact op miljoenen mensenlevens. Wij danken de donateurs die het financieel mogelijk maken dat we ook in Nederland elke week te zien zijn op televisie. Wilt u ook dat Hour of Power kan blijven uitzenden? Word dan nu donateur.